following is a live presentation of CITR News.
CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here's your host, Rita Farkas.
Good evening. In the news this week, American gun owners are bringing their guns into the country, and Canadians' mortgages are impacting household net values more than ever before. We'll have all this, plus arts and your weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. There is some good news about one of Vancouver's new venues for the 2010 Olympics. UBC's Thunderbird Arena has been completed on budget and ahead of schedule. A ceremony today commemorated the completion of the project, with still 19 months to go before the Olympics here begin. The Thunderbird Arena includes a 75,000-seat ice rink, as well as a practice rink, which will host the men's and women's ice hockey competition during the Olympics. It will also host the men's ice sledge competition in the Paralympic Games. Before and after the games, the rink will be open to students and the general public. In other Olympic news, VanOck has launched a program which aims to have Aboriginal art in all 15 Olympic and Paralympic Game venues. Now, with a look at more local and provincial news, here is News 101 reporter Charlotte Nobles.
The Vancouver Park Board is facing another contentious vote this evening, this time regarding one of Vancouver's most popular parks, Queen Elizabeth. The debates involve a plan to improve a lookout view in the park by cutting 70 trees. Board commissioners are looking for a way to restore the once popular view from the top of the 127-meter-tall Little Mountain at the center of the park, which once looked across downtown Vancouver towards the North Shore Mountains. But for Cecilia Brower, a master gardener with Van Dusen Gardens, the trees are the view. She questions why people would want to cut down trees in order to look out at the pile of skyscrapers in Vancouver, which she adds can be seen from all across the city. Meanwhile, the park board staff say felling the trees serves a number of purposes. The ever-popular view will be restored and the trees will be thinned out, making them less likely to come crashing down in a windstorm. Park Board Vice Chair Ian Robertson says that if the view attracts more people to the park, it could also draw more visitors to the paid attractions. He says more visitors to the park would hopefully increase attendance at the Macmillan Bloedel Conservatory. Over the years, there have been a number of proposals to restore the views from Queen Elizabeth Park, including a tower or viewing platform, but neither suggestion found support.
American gun owners are carrying their arms into Canada, particularly here in BC. This from documents by Canada Border Services Agency, or CBSA. Intelligence summaries compiled by the agency show that while the agency's officers discover smuggled guns destined for the Canadian criminal underworld, most firearms they turn up belong to law-abiding Americans. Most of the firearms seized by CBSA at the land ports of entry are the personal firearms of legitimate U.S. travelers who neglected, intentionally or not, to declare their personal firearms, says the agency's Strategic Intelligence Analysis Division in an undated report covering the period 2004 to 2006. Crossing into British Columbia accounts for the largest percentage of all gun seizures and about a third of all handguns, the agency says. A high percentage is in transit to Alaska and not intended for the illicit firearms market. Americans traveling through Canada between Alaska and the lower 48 states, often doing seasonal work, can take their guns if they declare them. According to the reports, the Canada Border Services Agency seized 662 guns in 2007, three-quarters of them being handguns. Between 2004 and 2007, it confiscated 2,289 guns. While uncommon, we have seized handguns that are linked to the illicit firearms market with an organized crime connection, quotes the agency intelligent report. The report concludes that United States will continue to be the primary source of firearm seizures because of its close proximity to Canada and the availability of firearms due to regulations that are more permissive and conducive to gun ownership.
Some new figures by Statistics Canada and the province newspaper indicate that household debt is on the rise in Canada. The province reported this morning that during the past 20 years, household debt in Canada has been rising steadily. They attribute some of this to the softening real estate market, which has created a situation where many homeowners now have a mortgage which is worth more than their home. According to Statistics Canada, 90% of the homeowners who spend more than one-third of their income on housing are homeowners rather than renters. Currently, about 40% of Canadian households own their home with a mortgage, and the rest rent or own their homes free and clear.
And it's time now for a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news following these public service announcements.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway, Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres. Check out biltmorecabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/SASC. AMS Connect is a brand new service that offers a variety of ways for you to get connected to your campus, your city, and your world. We provide online listings of local volunteer opportunities and internship placements that allow you to gain valuable job experience and explore your passions outside of the classroom. The Connect office also facilitates volunteer placements abroad. Do stuff, get involved. For more information, call 604-822-9268 or you can go to their website at www.ams.ubc.ca/vex.
What are you doing July 19th?
Hey, Brenda. I'm going to the Cypher Famous B-Boy Championships. It's the first ever Canadian National Breakdance Tour coming to Vancouver in the UBC Sub Ballroom.
I heard that the prelims have been held across Canada and the national finals are coming to Vancouver.
That's right. The best B-Boys and B-Girls from across Canada and the Western United States are battling it out for $1,000 cash and prizes.
This will be the craziest dancing you've ever seen.
Advance tickets are on sale now for $15 at ticketweb.ca. Just search Cypher Famous.
Buy them in Vancouver at Adrenaline on Granville, Livestock on Abbott, Dipped on Hornby, or Beach Street on Hastings.
We hope to see you there. For more information, visit www.famouscircle.com.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:11 p.m. A recent environmental assessment report on three industrial fires that hit Prince George in May indicates dangerous results. The fires destroyed a Canfor plywood plant, a warehouse, and thousands of CN rail ties. With more on this and other provincial and national news, here once again is Charlotte Nobles.
The first fire broke out at Canfor's North Central Plywood Division mill about 6 p.m. on May 26. Workers said the blaze appeared to have started in one of the plant's three veneer dryers, but quickly spread across the roof. Firefighters battled the flames for hours, but eventually had to withdraw to defensive positions as flames consumed the building and spread to the surrounding area. CBC News obtained a list of hazardous materials involved in the blaze from the Provincial Environment Ministry. The list includes thousands of liters of resin, glue, caustic solution, hydraulic fluid, and oil, along with small amounts of dioxins, furans, lead, cadmium, mercury, and asbestos. During the fires, large chunks of ash, some the size of baseballs fell from the sky over Prince George, and officials warned people not to touch them with their bare hands. Officials said fire, water, and liquid waste were contained on site by concrete ground cover and ditching systems, then collected, removed, and treated. Still, 6 weeks after the blaze, environmental crews are still cleaning out ditches and sewers and scouring the scorched remains.
And in national news, Liberal Party leader Stéphane Dion visited Calgary this weekend on a visit to the center of Canada's oil industry. Dion is traveling throughout Alberta and Saskatchewan to try to raise support for the Liberals' carbon tax plan, despite concerns that the carbon tax plan is too similar to the Trudeau Liberals' 1980 National Energy Program. Many speculated that Dion would not be very successful in Calgary over the weekend, where the stampede is in full swing. However, Peter McCormick, professor of political science at the University of Lethbridge, suggested that the purpose of Dion's visit was to assert himself as a politician committed to the environment. McCormick praised Dion for his willingness to visit Alberta and Saskatchewan in order to prove his support for the carbon tax plan. Elizabeth May, leader of Canada's Green Party, said that she was happy with anything that demonstrates support for changes to Canada's environmental policy. May maintains that the Liberals' carbon tax plan was based on a plan proposed by the Green Party. However, she is supportive of both the Liberal and NDP plans for environmental change.
The following story was provided by the CBC. The imminent arrival of the remnants of Saddam Hussein's nuclear program in Port Hope, Ontario, has sparked renewed controversy in a community that has been refining uranium since the Second World War. Facilities in Port Hope will refine more than 500 tons of yellowcake uranium, the seed material for higher-grade nuclear enrichment. Refining uranium keeps a lot of people working in Port Hope, but has also made parts of the town radioactive. Nuclear safety advocate and former town councillor John Morand said he isn't just worried about more uranium headed to Port Hope, but is also concerned about angering other residents. He says the community is split and has been split for years over the value of jobs versus the concern of the contamination of the water table and the contamination into the air. The huge stockpile of concentrated natural uranium reached Montreal on Saturday in a top-secret journey that included a two-week airlift from Baghdad and a voyage across two oceans. The Iraqi government sold the yellowcake to Canadian uranium producer Cameco Corp in a transaction one official described as worth tens of millions of dollars. The company operates two plants in the Port Hope area, making it one of the community's major employers. Cameco spokeswoman Lyle Cron would not comment on the terms of the deal, but said the material will be processed at the company's Ontario plants for use in energy-producing reactors. The Canadian Nuclear Safety Board shut down one of the company's Port Hope refineries last July. Uranium, arsenic, and fluorides had been leaking into the groundwater, likely for decades, but the company only admitted it last year.
And it's time now for another quick break, but when we come back, we'll hear the Arts Report with Charlotte Nobles. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Backed by popular demand, the Vancouver Folk Music Festival returns with the 2008 Folk in the City series. Taking place at Vancouver's Yale Hotel, located on 1300 Granville Street, the Folk in the City series begins and ends the Vancouver Folk Fest. On Wednesday, July 17th, get a head start on Vancouver's Folk Festival with Marcus James and the Wassenry with the Blue Voodoo Duo. Then, on Monday, July 21st, catch the festival's last performance with T-Model Ford and guest Kenny Blue Boss Wayne. Tickets are available online at the festival's website, thefestival.bc.ca. See you at the Yale.
The Advocacy Office provides confidential and free representation, guidance, and assistance to students engaged in conflict with UBC. We advocate for students in preparing and attending formal meetings, hearings, and appeals against the university. Specifically, our office helps students with matters of student discipline, such as cheating, collaboration, or plagiarism, assigned standing, admissions, and financial assistance. We can also assist you in appeals to decisions made by UBC Library, parking, or housing. You are not alone. We're here to help. For more information, call 822-9855 or visit the website at www.ams.ubc.ca/advocacy.
GoGreenShuttles.com and the Pemberton Festival now have a direct shuttle service all weekend long from Vancouver right to the festival gates. GoGreenShuttles.com is your alternative to high fuel and parking costs, with return tickets just $70 when purchased before July 10th.
That's right, there are ways to go green without spending a lot of green.
Want to find out what going green really means? Want to find ways to save money and conserve resources like energy and water?
GoGreenShuttles.com. You do the partying, we'll get you there.
Welcome back to News 101 in the Summer. I'm Rita Farkas, coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. Up next is the Arts Report with Charlotte Nobles.
In the Vancouver theater scene this week, Titus Andronicus opens on July 9th as part of this summer's Bard on the Beach program, and Theater Under the Stars productions of Jesus Christ Superstar and Annie Get Your Gun also open on July 9th. On July 11th and running until the 26th, the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, will be playing at the Coast Capital Playhouse in White Rock, and the Monty Python musical Spamalot, which opened on the weekend, will be at the Centre in Vancouver for Performing Arts until July 27th. In music news, Eric's Trip will be at the Plaza on July 10th, Ill Scarlet will be at the Vogue on July 12th, and also on July 12th, Wolf Parade will be playing the Commodore. On Saturday, July 12th, UBC's Thunderbird Stadium will host Just Breathe, a benefit fashion show by local eco-friendly designers. The event will support Camp Moomba, a program for children affected by HIV/AIDS, and this show will begin at 2:30. On July 2nd, the Vancouver Theater Sports League launched their new improv show, aptly named Let the Summer Games Begin. Here's how it works. Common improv games are played by two competing teams, and these teams are required to create scenes around summer themes. The show kicks off with an energetic introduction by the night's host, who explains the show's rules and gets the audience warmed up by having everyone practice shouting out suggestions for the actors. The host gets everyone laughing, and by the time the actors come out on stage, the audience is ready for a great show. The actors are divided into two teams who then compete for the rest of the show. The rules are simple. Each scene is judged on a scale from 1 to 5, and at the end of the night, the team with the most points is named champion. Pre-selected audience members serve as the show's judges, who decide the fate of each team, although the audience is strongly encouraged to voice their support or disagreement with the judges' decisions. Audience participation is constantly encouraged, with suggestions being pulled from the audience before each scene. The show runs for about 1.5 hours with a short intermission, and there is opportunity to upgrade your ticket for any of the later shows coming up that night. Let the Summer Games Begin met with its first weekend audience this past Friday, and I suspect that no one went home disappointed. Vancouver Theatre Sports League's sound improviser, Laura Skelton, did a fantastic job of keeping the audience interested and enthusiastic about the show with perfectly timed and relevant tunes between each scene, always drawing on one of the scene's themes and selecting a song. The night's host, Margaret Nyforce, kept the audience laughing throughout the show and even responded with witty banter when an audience member outrageously introduced himself in the middle of her opening monologue. The night's winning team, Narwhal, was made up of Bill Pozzebon, Pierce Visor, and Eric Fell. This team received some tough competition from the Young Drivers of Canada team, made up of Ryan Smith, Michael Teagan, and Denise Jones. Summer themes were frequent, with the scenes being based on kayaks, many petties, and even Mrs. O'Leary's barbecue. One of the most successful scenes of the night, however, involved characterizations of dinnerware. The second half of the show featured longer scenes by both teams, one of which predicted the future of the bride-to-be whose Stegat was visiting the show that night. Vancouver Theatre Sports' new show is a must on your to-do list this summer and can be enjoyed by all ages. Located on Granville Island's new review stage, Let the Summer Games Begin will be running until September 6th. For schedules and ticket information, you can visit their website at www.vtsl.com.
And thanks to Charlotte for that review. It's now time for international news. This week, we bring you a piece on the staggering rates of violence against women in Guatemala.
A new cycle of violence is shaking Guatemala. More than 200 women have been murdered so far this year, despite a new law approved by the Congress that punishes such crimes with severe penalties. Civil rights organizations have called on the government and the international community to intervene and reduce crimes against women. Ricardo Martinez reports.
In the past few months, the levels of insecurity and killings of women in Guatemala rose dramatically by 50% over previous years, say civil rights organizations. Relatives of the victims claim to the biggest factor in the crimes is impunity, the lack of punishment for crimes against women. Guatemala has one of the highest rates of violence against women in the world. The Human Rights National Center in Guatemala has documented over 1,400 women victims since 1996. Of these, one-third were murdered, either individually or in groups. 19% were tortured, 80% were imprisoned, and 14% were sexually violated. Neri Rodenas is a human rights defender from the Guatemala Archdiocese. He notes that 98% of murders are unsolved.
Eso significa, pues, entonces que estamos hablando nosotros de que se está generando una espiral de violencia.
This means we believe that a spiral of violence is being generated where there is no solution in cases of violence. This means that criminals feel more supported at a time of committing a crime because they are almost certain that they will not be prosecuted.
Estela Maldonado is a congresswoman in Guatemala. She heard recent investigations by Congress into the problem. She believes that the state has not faced effectively the critical situation, but the government is now recognizing the problem.
Públicamente y de manera oficial es reconocido por el Ejecutivo.
It is officially recognized by the government, in this case, Interior Ministry, that there was an increase in the violent deaths of women. The other is that these deaths have a significant component of cruelty, rape, and sexual attack.
Significativo. O sea, aparte del, digamos, el daño.
There's a specific cruelty deaths of women.
Una hazaña específica, ¿verdad? En la muerte de mujeres torturadas, en el caso, violadas.
Women tortured, raped, or outraged of a terrible way.
In April, the Congress approved new laws addressing crimes against women. This legislation provides penalties of up to 50 years in jail for those responsible for the murders of women and between 5 and 12 years for sexual violence, physical or psychological. Flor Enriquez is a member of the Fundación de Sobrevivientes, Survivors Foundation, in Guatemala.
Our organization arises from the need for institutions to ensure women's rights, which have been attacked, or women who have been victims of any sexual abuse of any kind or any kind of violation that's occurred. The organization has these main objectives: truth before the impunity that exists in Guatemala,
lograr dar cobertura,
giving coverage to achieve a comprehensive education program against machismo, ending the machismo that is transmitted from generation to generation, and that arises at home, in the family. These are the main goals of our institution.
Flor Enriquez announces that many political, civilians and parties groups will take action on the streets and participate in peaceful demonstrations during the next days to call for an end to violence against women. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Ricardo Martinez from Guatemala City.
And thanks to FSRN for that informative piece. Right now, it's 5:29 and time to turn things over to Selena Ferris for this week's weather forecast.
It's going to be a beautiful week with sunny skies and temperatures reaching the mid-20s. Tonight, you may see a few clouds passing over, but temperatures should remain warm with a low down to 15 degrees. Tomorrow, conditions will be sunny with a few cloudy periods and a high UV index, so make sure you lather on the sunscreen if you're going to be outside. Tomorrow's high will hit 25 degrees. Expect similarly sunny conditions on Wednesday with a high of 24. At the end of the week, we'll see a few cloudy periods with a 30% chance of showers on Thursday. That's your 5-day weather brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com.
And thanks, Selena. That's our program for Monday, July 7th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. And if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can always use the email news@citr.ca. Carrie Baptist produced this radio program. For more news, join us next Monday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, this is Rita Farkas thanking you for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Tracks coming up next on 101.9 FM CITR.